Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking to you about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of our Savior. Jesus is going to return to earth for his own. But before we begin our study, let us have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this opportunity to meet with your people. We ask that your spirit would bless us, Lord, as we study your word together. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin with the book of Acts, chapter 1. And as you all know, the book of Acts was written by Luke the physician, who was also the author of the Gospel of Luke, that is, the third gospel in the New Testament. And so Acts chapter 1, some have called this book the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So we shall call it the Acts of the Apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love the title, the book of Acts. Now, let me tell you at the beginning of the show that there are very few passive verbs in the Greek New Testament, very few passive verbs in the Greek New Testament. Faith testament is a noun of action. Pistis is a noun of action. John 3:16, the word love, agape, is also a noun of action. The word grace or charis in the Greek New Testament is also a noun of action. So I want you to get an understanding for the power of the word. Indeed, in Mark's gospel, he uses the adverb immediately to speak about the ministry of our Lord as the servant. Immediately, so it is wonderful the way God has set up through the Holy Spirit the doctrines of the New Testament. Now, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is taken up into heaven. So Luke writes these words for us, quote, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." Notice what he writes. He wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles or the sent ones, the chosen ones he had chosen. After his suffering or his passion, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Now, the word here for proofs in the Greek text is tekmerion. And tekmerion means such evidence as to remove all doubt. Such evidence as to remove all doubt. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, I want to pause here because there are some who taught in the first century that Jesus was a mere phantom. And John deals with this in the in First John, that there are teachers who say that there was no bodily resurrection, and that Jesus did not rise from the grave, and so that false teaching is repudiated by the writers of the New Testament. Jesus was not a mere phantom. Jesus, there was a bodily resurrection. And so please read 1 Corinthians 15, in which Paul gives the gospel or the euangelion, the good news of the person of Jesus. Let me read on. 4, Acts 1. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, remember, Judea is the southern kingdom. And Samaria is the northern kingdom. So he goes on in verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Verse 11, quote, men of Galilee, unquote. They said, quote, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven, unquote. Now, I love in verse 11 that these angelic beings said to these men, this same Jesus, this saying, Jesus, you and I are looking for this same Jesus to come and snatch us away out of the satanic cosmos. And that's the meaning of the verb. Some call it the rapture, but it is literally the snatching out of the church, the snatching away. And so this same Jesus that the apostles observed going to the third heaven will come again for his own. Now, I wanted to bring this message to you because so many pressures have come into the lives of the people of the earth. Believers are being sorely oppressed and persecuted. State authorities who know that believers worship and love the Lord Jesus. The state wants to be the sole power over the lives of people. They only want a terrestrial loyalty. Therefore, they want to control everything about the lives of individuals. Everything. They want control of everything. And so some believers are at a loss as to what is going on and why what is going on is going on. If you have a Bible, let me encourage you to start reading your Bible. Let me encourage you to start studying your Bible. And I have over 800 shows that you can go back and study. And you maybe can find some answers to your spiritual needs through those shows. So please review those shows. And the Lord willing, I will have more shows that will be dealing with eschatology, that is the doctrine of last things, and which have to deal with particularly how the church age is to end. You and I are in the eschaton. In fact, the last days began with the resurrection of Jesus. And the last days will be characterized by evil. Paul wrote that evil men will become worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And in the last days, we will also see the rise of the Antichrist. And there will come someday the one the one world government that will be controlled by the little horn of the book of Daniel. That is the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. So I need you to read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, wherein Paul deals with certain aspects of the rise of the Antichrist. And Paul tells us that he that is the Antichrist, it will be destroyed by the brightness of the coming, the flashing forth of the of eternal glory, the glory of Jesus Christ. He will be slain by the brightness of the coming of the Lord. And so the word of God is given to us so that we can have hope. Now, I'm going to turn to the book of Titus, and I'm going to read from Titus chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 11. I'm going to read Titus 2, 11 through 15, quote, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness," that is lack of reverence, ungodliness is lack of reverence, "and worldly lusts, we should live soberly," that is, with a sound mind, "and righteously, and godly," that is, with reverence, "in the present age," or ione, "for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." I love that. I love saying those words. I love thinking about the coming of Jesus. He is our blessed hope. Now, the word hope in the Greek New Testament means confident expectation toward the future. Confident expectation toward the future. And so Jesus is our blessed hope. And so, and notice what he also says, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we have the connective and, A-N-D. It is chi in the Greek. And so Jesus is what? He is our great God, this our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that is a substitutionary death for sinners. He gave himself on our behalf, that he might redeem, that is buy back, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar. Now that word peculiar in Greek means a possessed about people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort, that is teach and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee or depreciate thee, unquote. Now, so we have the word of God at our disposal, beloved. And if you have a Bible available, please read the passages that I have given you in tonight's study. Read them prayerfully, read them carefully, and allow these passages to edify. Another biblical word, it means to build up, your soul. That is, studying the word of God and by faith believing the word that you read and understand will be stored in your spirit. And so you will grow in your faith. You will grow in confidence. You will be encouraged. Your prayer life will change. Your praise life will change. And your fellowship with God will change. Your confidence in who you are and to whom you belong will change. You know that you belong to the Lord Jesus, and your life will change greatly. Yes, there are enormous pressures, but you can go to your God and have the confidence that the living Lord Jesus is coming for his people.